can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time.
So here's a big question. Why is all this crazy stuff happening now? Patrick Byrne, really smart guy, founder of Overstock, done work for the U.S. government, secret clandestine operations. Why are so many things racing now? Why is there so much jockeying by governments and groups? AI coming, you know, to the fore. How would you, if you're like a historian, 50 years in the future, looking back at where we are now, why is there so much change happening? Why is there so much concern?
Boy, gosh, that's a great question, Alex. That's a great question. I think that there was always a sense that 2020 was the great global shakeup. I know in the American intelligence community, without saying too much, which I probably already am, that there was a belief that China reached the apogee of its power in 2020. They knew this apogee was population of its relative GDP to us, et cetera. And they went all in. They built an enormous debt to GDP ratio. So they really, leading up to 2020, in those 15 years, it looks very much like they prepared their great break on us as 2020. Meanwhile, I think that 2020 was supposed to be the time that the whole global order got put in a box and shaken up and something completely new came out of it. And we disrupted that. And we didn't play our part because the 2020 election happened as part of that bigger picture. And we didn't go down. It's the first color revolution in history that didn't win. And I think they didn't win because of Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn called me in March of 2021. And he said, you know, they've stolen the White House. They've got the court system. They've Congress. They've stolen everything but the American people, Patrick. You move to Florida and I'm going to show you how we build a movement together. And if he hadn't done that, I don't think we would ever have recovered. Normally, color revolutions are over in 5 or 6 months at the most. By the time we got 5 months into ours, which was June 2021, we had this whole movement, and you were part of it. We were up and on the toes and moving forward rather than going under. And I think that was Mike Flynn personally. So, but I think that you could go back 20 years, and you will see that there was in national planning, even public documents, this idea that 2020 was going to be the go for broke. And that's when China was at its apogee of its relative power versus us. All we have to do now, we don't have to go to war against China. This is what I love. We can kind of,
we just got to hang on and persevere. We win.
Time's our friend. Their internal contradictions, as Mao would put it, are revealing themselves and it's unraveling. So the last thing we need to do is go physically, kinetically fight with China. We just have to keep on our feet, and they're bleeding out. And I don't believe so. I think that's why things are happening. There's such a conjunction.
So should Trump cut Taiwan loose? Because if Trump said, fine, have Taiwan, China might actually back off because they want the political threat of us saying we want it. Or would they still go into Taiwan?
They would take it. He shouldn't cut them loose. They've been great allies, great friends, huge amount of intellectual capital. You know, I'd like to see Taiwan absorb mainland China. No, he shouldn't. He shouldn't cut them loose.
I wasn't saying to that. I was asking the question.
No, I think he should not.
So,
I
what's the real geopolitical lay of the land? Where's Ukraine going? Where do you think Iran's going to go? How does all this play together?
I think getting us into this Ukraine war was part of the overthrow. This Ukraine war has never made any sense. I grew up under some very hardline generals, a guy named Jack Vesey. And he took me to see Kissinger and Schultz one time. And they were in 2015, they were in complete agreement. It's the craziest thing in the world to start World War III over Ukraine. It should be a neutral Finland, et cetera. But for some reason, since 2015, the Clinton, the Obama, the Bushies, all the American establishment has just been so keen that we got to get in a fight.
Because that drives Russia into the hands of China and BRICS and bolsters them.
And the truth is, I hate to say it, but Ukraine started that. I mean, I'm no friend of Putin and so on and so forth. But everyone says the Ukraine war started on February 24th of 2022. It didn't start February 24th. A week earlier, Zelensky started shelling the villages in eastern Ukraine that have a lot of Russians. He killed about 8,000 of them. So he put Putin in the position that, of course, he was going to. So we deliberately Biden deliberately triggered that war. I don't know. I think there's some deeper plan. I think that ultimately, and you know probably more about this than me, there may be a plan to eliminate Ukraine as a country and have it emerge as the new capital of the new global state that was supposed to emerge. And it had to be like Dubai, some, and they were going to consolidate the UN, the WHO, the EU. Everybody would get consolidated.
Yeah, they want to make it like a UN-controlled zone and then have a Marshall Plan to pump a bunch of money into it.
Yeah, and I think BlackRock got a $500 billion rebuilding budget. I think the plan all along may have been to destroy Ukraine as a country, and instead it's going to emerge as these new globalist headquarters.
That's right. NATO came out of the Marshall Plan. They actually have said that. That's their plan. And when you say Ukraine, just the black hole of Ukraine would set up this new international order. Now the EU, an elected commission, wants to be totally federalized, get rid of the last vestiges of sovereignty. I mean, clearly, I think the EU is the new Soviet Union.
Correct. And it's the new Soviet Union. I think it was built to morph and grow into world headquarters of the globalist empire. And it's not going to be in Brussels. It's not even going to be in Switzerland. It was going to be, and all these international institutions would collapse.
And that's my next question. With the way the global order is now shot into pieces, people say a new world order is coming. It doesn't mean we're doing a new world order. It means there's a new order forming. What are the pieces? How do you see them coming together?
The Americas. We have to be about the Americas. It's to our shame that after all these years, there's not a road that connects Alaska to Tierra del Fuego. There's not a railway. At least the Chinese, with their road and belt initiatives, were trying to integrate all these societies. You know, there's still a 40-mile gap in the Darien Gap that's not. So we ought to focus on the Americas, throw the communists out, which I think they're hanging by a thread. If we get through Venezuela and Cuba, and when you find out all the lefty politicians for a generation who've been paid off, Latin Americans are going to be shocked. Every heroic lefty like Danny Ortega, they've gotten hundreds of millions of dollars from the cartel. The cartel of Venezuela has corrupted the whole continent. When we get rid of them, we ought to have our Belt and Road Initiative and focus on making the Americas great again. And maybe some of these other globalist institutions like NATO, like Europe, you know, certainly the UN. I've got no favor for the UN anymore. But we should be focusing on the Americas, I think, if and when we get through this. And focusing on raising the standard of living. But I believe in nation states. There's nobody. I want nation states. I want the United States. We have enough trouble managing our own business, trying to, let alone, you know, reorganize the world. So we want nation states in the future. Because if you have a globalist world, as Mark Stein said, in a globalist world, if you don't like your government, where do you move? When there's a one world government, there's nowhere to move. So we cannot have a one world government. We keep the nation states. And I think we can come through this better off than anybody. There's no country better positioned. So the globalist order is breaking down. The fair trade is breaking down. There's no nation better prepared on earth to go it alone and see a collapse in international trade than the United States. The United States' share of its GDP that is devoted to the trade is smaller than, I think, any industrial country. We have a great internal river system. We are better prepared than any country in the world to have an isolated economy if we have to. But what's gone on is so many people have been free riding on us for generations. And we maintain this national global, you know, peace and the oceans and so on and so forth. And all the other nations count on us to do that. And they just kind of free ride on us. It's maybe enough of that. It didn't work, or it worked long enough. And I think you will see the global trading blocks emerge. So it's not one global trading bloc, but there'll be the Chinese-oriented trading bloc and the American-centered one. And you know what? Anyone in their right mind is going to defect from the China and join ours. In fact, BRICS, you may even see BRICS melt down. Because if we get our stuff together, if we get our act together, it won't make any sense for people to defect from the American order over to the BRICS order. Have you heard any news about maybe, like, even Russia may give up on the BRICS if we come through this?
I mean, Putin said he'll give us $35 trillion in rare earth minerals if we just make a deal with them. I mean, they want to deal with us. They've been trying that since 1991.
We should do that. You know, this great general, Vesey, who influenced me so much, and he was Ronald Reagan's chairman of the Joint Chiefs twice. Impeccable hawk credentials. You don't get more hawk than that. World War II veteran, same with Schultz, same with Kissinger. And people who actually have fought in wars are like this. They, Vesey used to tell me any world where Russia, China, and the U.S. get along is better than any world where we don't get along. And anyone who lived through World War II understands that, Patrick. But you have in Washington a bunch of chicken hawks, a bunch of intellectuals. They've written papers about war. They're sissy. They've never, it's not them fighting it. And I've been around these communities. You know, I'm used to be on the Council on Foreign Relations. I haven't been involved for 20 years. I probably haven't been in the door. But you have all these intellectuals with their theories of how to organize the world. And we got to put all that behind us. And so anyway, I'll stop there. I could go on.
No, I totally agree with you. And I want to play a clip here. This is really important. This is because now that all this AI is in the news. And here's Oracle's Larry Ellison. Citizens will be on their best behavior with AI surveillance systems. This is him like 5 years ago. Then he, a year and a half ago, talks about, oh, we're going to have mRNA with AI, not knowing that all this is super unpopular, what he's saying. Then you have the companies hyping up AIs into the world to act like it's so powerful for their offerings of buying stock in it. I want to get your real take on what AI is going to do because you're a former tech company head and an engineer. Here's two clips of Ellison.
Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on. And it's unimpeachable. The cars have camera, cameras on them. I think we have a squad car here someplace. But those kind of applications using AI, we can use AI, and we're using AI to monitor the video. So if that altercation had occurred, that occurred in Memphis, the chief of police would be immediately notified. It's not people that are looking at those cameras. It's AI that's looking at the cameras. No, no, no. You can't do this. It would be like a shooting. That's going to be immediately, that's going to be an event that's immediately, an alarm's going to go off. It's going to be, and we're going to have supervision. In other words, every police officer is going to be supervised at all times. Design a vaccine for every individual person to vaccinate them against that cancer. And you can make that vaccine, that mRNA vaccine, you can make that robotically, again, using AI in about 48 hours. So imagine early cancer detection, the development of a cancer vaccine for your particular cancer aimed at you, and have that vaccine available in 48 hours. This is the promise of AI and the promise of the future.
So that's some dystopic clips that just resurfaced of him. I was going to cover this for like an hour today. I'll do it tomorrow because we got another guest coming up. But I'm not against technology, but who watches the watchers? Who programs the AI of what's desirable behavior? When they have another lockdown or another cover release. How do you respond to that?
Well asked. What I respond is, first of all, and this is public information if you dig deep enough, or I'm of the belief that Larry Ellison is former agency, and the agency invented the database, and then they spun it off with Larry Ellison to commercialize it, but it was actually a CIA creation, and it was spun off, and that's how Ellison got going, out of the CIA. So his sympathies are CIA, and listen, the top of the CIA is all deep state. It's various factions of deep state that compete with each other, but it's deep state. So I don't want to take his intuitions on any of this. I think his instincts may not be admirable. So that's what I think of him. I think that we do have to remember, and I know it's in the news so much that everyone's talking about, as you say, the Jews, they just focus on it. We have to be more granular when we think about Israel. Oh, it is. Yeah. So it is in the public. And that's 2014. I want to close at least on this thought that we have to be more granular when we think of Israel and the Jewish folk in general. Israel has a deep state and it's loyal to a guy named Ehud Barak. I think that, and we know, because we have the videos, there were Zoom calls going on in 2020 where you had Antifa and BLM, hundreds of them, in calls with people from our federal government, who were telling them how to organize, how to be prepared for this, how to be prepared for that. There were even classes on how to defeat election security machines, how to break the seal without showing it. These were being held on Zoom calls. In some of those Zoom calls, there were not only American deep state officials present, we have all the videos, that not only American deep state officials present, There were occasionally Israeli deep state officials present, people tied to this guy, Ehud Barak. I hate to sound like the protocols of the elders of Zion, but what we've gone through in the last 6 years, there was an Israeli hand. But don't talk about, it's not Israel, it's not the Jews, it's the Ehud Barak Jews of Israel.
Well, that's right. We always talk about Netanyahu all day, but nobody talks about the real old power structure. Goes back to Ehud Barak and Yitzhak Rabin before that, and that's who the Rothschilds are allied with. Because isn't there a fight with the Rothschilds and Netanyahu, at least on the surface?
Absolutely, and it's not on the surface. It's for real. In fact, the Rothschild faction, along with, the Rothschild faction, is, and this gets really inside baseball about Judaism. I'm not
going to. Go ahead. I'm following. Go ahead. Tell people that don't know.
Well, there is a faction, and they're very much against Netanyahu. So, for example, you take October 7th. Anybody with a brain in their head knows there's no way that October 7th could have happened without a stand down order. But people jump from that to assuming Netanyahu gave the stand down order. I think there's much more evidence that what happened is Netanyahu is trying to reform Israel.
Netanyahu said it was the IDF, and then they said apologize. He said, we'll table this till later.
Yes. Well, before October 7th, Netanyahu was trying to do this judicial reform, which basically is the Rothschilds Jews have God mode in Israel. The Supreme Court of Israel can sort of overrule everything. No checks and balances. Netanyahu wanted to change that. There was a leader, a woman married to the head of one of the top guys at Shin Bet, which is like the FBI of Israel, a woman named Shikma Bressler. She was leading the protests against Netanyahu, which turned out all have been funded by our State Department. Our State Department was funding the color revolution in Israel against Netanyahu. She said in late August 2023, if you go forward with this, Netanyahu, you're going to go blind. And I'm speaking for 1,200 intelligence officers across the military and civilian. You're going to go blind. Well, a couple of weeks later, Netanyahu got a mild judicial reform done. And then a few weeks after that, October 7th happened. My guess would be that it was the Israeli deep state gave the stand down order on October 7th. And we've talked about this. And they were deliberately creating.
Sure. And Ehud Barak's the main one implicated in Epstein. So then why has Trump gone along with trying to suppress that if he's allied with Netanyahu? Because it's not about Netanyahu, good or bad, folks. What Patrick is saying is the real battle lines, the two big factions there in Israel, the Rothschilds that set up Israel in 47, 48, and they do control the Supreme Court. That's all true. And so Netanyahu, you say he wants determination himself to be in charge or wants Israel to be. It's not about judgment on Netanyahu, good or bad, but what you're saying is the truth.
No, it is the truth, yeah.
So how's it playing out between the Rothschilds and Netanyahu?
Well, they're in some kind of death struggle. They're in some kind of death struggle. I think you're going to find, and I have a strong hint that you're going to get the rest of the Epstein tapes before the election. And when the rest of the Epstein stuff comes out, it's going to be a stake through the heart of the Democratic Party. I'll tell you that 89% of the perpetrators so far in that I count from the Epstein stuff have been Jewish. You're going to find if there's a lot more that gets revealed before the election, and I think there is, it's going to destroy the rest of the Democratic Party. The Democrat, and not just the Jewish Democrat, the Democratic Party is they're going to release more Epstein just before
the election. Are you saying Trump's been holding it back till right before the midterms?
I don't know, but that could be.
Because he did bring in a bunch of former Ehud Barak minions. That's my issue. But I mean, of course, to me, I'm like, Trump's not in there. We've studied it. You attack them. It's almost all Democrats. So why not hit him with it?
Maybe his timing. Maybe, I don't know. I actually have this from elsewhere outside the administration that this is what's coming down the pike. You are going to see another 3 million things. And it's the bad stuff. What you've seen so far ain't the bad stuff. What you're about to see is the bad stuff.
Well, the cannibalism, the sex slaves, that's not even the bad stuff.
Well, there's just a lot more.
No, I'm saying it's even worse. So what are you hearing is in there?
Well, it's more who. You're going to be hearing who. I've been told, I'll tell you this, that 3,500 elites from around the world, from royalty to bankers, congressmen, parliamentarians from Europe, world, UN types, everybody's, not everybody, but there's 3,500 people from around the world in those tapes. that have been compromised. And some of them did it just because they needed the promotion, like the people who went the P. Diddy stuff. And some of them were really willing to eat baby brains or have sex with children just because they wanted to. Some, but that there's the global elite is implicated, and you're going to see just before the election, the names finally really get revealed.
Well, I've known the whole time the Democrats, they're big specialties, as Republicans to a certain extent, but we knew this. So I that's why it was so crazy to watch them double down and say release all this stuff, but then we know it implicates them. Wow, so you're saying it's about to backfire.
And it reminds me of something Buffett said to me once. When I went to him and told him the story that's in this book, and Buffett said, you got to come public, Patrick. The analysis is eventually the country has to know. And given that eventually the country has to know the truth, the sooner they know the truth, the better, so we can get through and start healing. So I think it would have been smarter to just get everything out about Epstein. But I hear from other quarters, not from the U.S. government, but from other corners of the world, that what's coming down the pike is the rest of the stuff gets released before the election.
Wow. All right. So last question. What's the timetable? I mean, we heard Ratcliffe's meeting with the, now you don't trust him, I don't either. We covered up the stuff earlier when he was at Tulsi's job, the first administration is from. But he's been meeting with the Cuban, you know, leadership, minus Raul, who's not in power anymore. They've indicted Raul as kind of the excuse to go in. Are we talking a ground invasion, or does the Cuba stand down and make a deal with us like Venezuela? What happens?
I think it's more likely that they'll stand down with a, you know, Trump may have a whole new model of regime change that involves, you know, a lot of pressure, some carrots and sticks. And what, you know, the fact that we got through Venezuela without really a war is to be admired. And maybe it's going to be the same thing with Cuba. And then once he gets somebody that's more, I think it's reported this morning that they were trying to get Ahmadinejad installed in Iran. I don't know if it's true, but it could be a new model of regime change that you, and what he's done with Delcy. And
when you say new model, I'm not saying we're Nazis, but to use the analogy, they got 80%+ of the French military to stand down so the Germans could win, running over the Maginot Line and driving out the expeditionary force, the British. And then they put the French in charge out of Vichy France in the south. So a new model back to the old model, don't have to have a full regime change. You just get the old regime to stand down and come in and work for us.
And then once you have your Vichy, then you keep on prep. You can work with them. But anything that avoids a war like we had in Iraq, an insurgency is to be preferred.
All right. Powerful interview, Patrick. Thank you for giving us these exclusive, amazing information. Patrick Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E on X. Patrick Byrne, enemywithin.series.com. The book, the films, all of it. Thank you, Patrick. Amazing interview.
Congrats on your new show, Alex.
Well, thank you. The show's doing well, but we're at alexjoneslive.com. That's the new site, the feeds. That's the new, you know, site. InfoWars is gone. Alexjoneslive.com. Thanks to the listeners. Keep us on there. Thank you, Patrick. And yeah, speaking of that, I got Jason Burmese coming up. We'll be interviewing him, getting all the other news we haven't hit yet. Please support the broadcast. You're the funders of it. This is your whole shooting match. You built this. This is yours. We're just going to cover the news. We're going to hit it hard, fearlessly. That's what we do. We call balls and strikes. I cannot do this broadcast without you. Please share the articles, the videos at alexjoneslive.com, and please go to the alexjonesstore.com. Now, the good news is these cool Faraday cage RFID wallets are really awesome, and people love them. The bad news is they only ordered a little bit of them, so they're going to sell it probably by tomorrow. But that's okay. By tomorrow night at midnight, we end this buy one, get one free sale. It's massive. Get any of the methylene blue, ultra methylene blue tincture, get another bottle free. Get the T3, very best, cleanest iodine that does amazing things to your body. Buy one, get one free. Or mix and mash. Get one T3, get iodine, and then you get the methylene blue, or vice versa. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank those who have supported. I want to encourage those that have been supported to take action now. These products really work. A 90%+ reorder rate on T3 Methylene Blue because they really work. They will change your life. You're missing out if you don't get them. Our products are just like our information, the very best out there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. All right. I got a report on the election fraud in Kentucky, and then Jason Burmese takes over.